Good morning, Indianapolis, Indianapolis, Indiana. It's almost 9 a.m. It is Monday morning, February the 29th, 2016. This worst of all days in the Tuesday of the year, which is that February kind of March time period, I guess. I don't know. I make this shit up as I go along. But good morning. It is Monday, my favorite day of the week. I got back from a trip yesterday. I flew yesterday from Orlando to Indianapolis. I flew last Thursday from Indianapolis to Orlando through Atlanta. And so I go through TSA, and I got to tell you something. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You know, I didn't love my dad all the time. We had some serious problems, but I've respected him in many ways, and I've learned to be at peace with him in many ways. But here's a guy who at 17 years old, okay, meaning he needed to get the signatures of his parents. Here's a guy at 17 who volunteered to serve in World War II. And he volunteered for the Navy, and he volunteered for the Pacific. Well, actually, he didn't. He knew he would go to the Pacific. And listen, if you were an American back in 1943 or 44, and you were watching the newsreels, you know, the Ernie Pyle newsreels, you would be thinking to yourself, you know, maybe going out there, maybe seeing the carnage, maybe seeing those horrors is not such a great thing. This guy, my dad, was 17, and he volunteered to serve. If he could see the disgrace, the absolute disgrace, that is the TSA. The very TSA that would wipe its wands on my mom's two hip replacements and put her through the groping machine, which I think my dad would go ballistic. Actually, if my mom, when she was still alive, if my dad had still been alive, he died in 93. He died long before the TSA ever came into existence. He died long before that kind of undignified, non-republic, and I mean republic in the classic sense, a government by people, not of tyrants. A government where every man and every woman is sovereign, if he saw that bullshit, he would have probably grabbed his chainsaw and started hacking away at those fucking machines and getting his logging buddies to come along with him and with any piece of rock or wood that they could find to bash those machines to pieces and to pretty much beat up on anyone in those fucking shock troop uniforms, who would probably run away screaming if they saw a bunch of loggers running their direction with chainsaws and pieces of wood. If my father saw the TSA, I think he would be sad. It would be far worse than the Iron Eyes Cody thing. It would be basically he would finally recognize how much of a fucking chump he was. I mean, here's a guy who volunteered at 17 to serve his country, went to the Pacific, and when the war ended, he was likely kept on, likely through Operation Crossroads, and he was likely exposed to a lot of fucking radioactive material. He died of a very rare blood disorder in 1993. It's generally speaking the kind of thing you don't get unless you've undergone some type of radiation exposure, you know, at some point in your life. Who knows? Maybe he knew what he was doing. Maybe they lied to him. The fact is, all those records are more or less lost, and there's no way to know for sure. Here's a guy who believed if he worked hard enough his whole life that it would pay off. He believed in the, not just the superficial feature of the American dream, but he believed in the ethical feature, which was hard work pays off. He worked very hard. He was working up in the woods at 68 years old a week before he died. And I'm going to let you all in a little secret. Logging, like farming and fishing and crabbing, is hard-ass fucking work. I worked for my dad up in the woods when I was a kid. That's fucking hard work. It's dangerous work. Wake the fuck up. He was 68 years old. And he was a week away from being dead. And oh, by the way, he knew he was dying. Now, that's another interesting feature of my dad. And I think he thought he was doing us all a favor. But he knew he was dying. He'd known he was dying for about, I think, 4 months. That's what I've been told. Maybe longer. So anyways, I was thinking about that and thinking about the TSA, and it occurred to me that every flight I've been on, it seems like every single flight that I've been on since then, Really, since, 2012 or something, or 2013, they pulled me aside. The TSA has pulled me aside and groped me. And again, I don't want to go into this because I've kind of been talking about this a lot, and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. But I'm beginning to think that maybe they do have like a, you know how they have a, you know, everyone knows about the no-fly list. You know, if you're a terrorist, an evil terrorist, you get on the no-fly list. Now, of course, I suspect that there are people on the no-fly list are not terrorists. That's my theory. And I suspect the number is greater than zero. In fact, I would concede that at least 80% of the names on the no-fly list are probably not terrorists. And that's just me using common sense and logic. But there is the no-fly list, the list that prevents you from getting on a plane. Although at this point in time, as I've stated before, unless I have to fly for work or someone puts a gun to my head, I'm never getting on one of those fucking planes again anyways. But let's say you actually enjoy flying on those motherfucking planes. I don't know who the fuck you are. You sound like a fucking mutant to me, but let's say you give a shit. Well, if you're on the no-fly list, your life sucks. But I think there may be another list. I think that there's a second list, maybe. Or they might be more, but I think there's another kind of double secret probation, like a double, triple secret probation. Like, there's an extra level of this. And you can call it the grope list. And I think that I'm on the grope list. And what the grope list amounts to is no matter what the fuck you do, no matter how you debase yourself, no matter how many kinds of underwear you take off and put through the machine, no matter how much you allow them to just fucking talk to you like you're fucking cattle and treat you like shit, despite the fact that most of them are probably fucking morons and they're all mostly overweight and wearing stupid fucking uniforms, we allow them to treat us like shit. Oh, and we believe they're making us safer, which is the greatest fucking laugh of it all. But yeah, you keep believing that, America. If you believe that, you are definitely a fucking moron on your way to the fucking slaughterhouse. So I think I'm on the grope list. I really do. There's a no-fly list, and I believe there's at least one other list that the fucking Department of Homeland Security keeps, those motherfuckers, and it's the grope list. And I think soon there's going to be the anal list. And the vaginal list and the anal vaginal and the double penetration list and the spankings list. Probably there'll be the cream pie list. I'm sure, given the level of professionalism of the fucking TSA, there'll be all kinds of fucking procedures for all those goddamned lists. And I'll be thinking about that wonderful possibility. Like, what if in some other parallel dimension the same bullshit was going on, but what if my dad were still alive? Like, what if, people hadn't have been so fucking douchey in 1945 and 46 and had chosen not to use fucking nuclear weapons at all? I know that's a lot to believe that people wouldn't be that fucking douchey, but let's say that we'd actually been wise and realized how toxic and horrible that shit was. Anyways, let's say my dad were alive. I can have that fantasy of my dad and his logging buddies with chainsaws and chunks of wood and large pieces of rock smashing those machines to bits and scaring those pissant little fascist, little toady, little cowardly scumbags who love to grab Uncle Dan's junk down the fucking road. That is a fantasy worth believing in. But currently, Uncle Dan is on the grope list.